Greetings. This is Richard Solon.
And I'm Kendall Solon.
And this is Solon and Solon, Letters to the Inquiring Mind on Theology and Scripture. This is Richard Solon. The sermon that follows is entitled simply, Did We Do Enough?
Recently, I received a letter from a member of the congregation. It was in part a response to my invitation to members of the congregation to suggest sermon topics and themes. The letter writer had a question which he said seemed to end many of the Sunday school class discussions that he was a part of here at Duncan Memorial. And the question was, did we do enough? Did we do enough as Christians? Did we make a difference in the world? It's not that the writer was motivated to ask the question out of any self-doubt. Rather, it was asked in light of the obvious failure of the Christian church here and there, right now, and certainly during this century, to make a significant difference, the kind of difference one wanted it to make, such as Bosnia, for example, where Catholic Christians are at war with Orthodox Christians. He continues to say, one can rightfully question whether it is not the case that the things hoped for by Christians are less of a reality than they might be, or perhaps one could say less than what they should be. And the writer wondered whether, given the wide, diverse directions which individual Christians take, that is, there's a Christian left, a Christian right, the Christian center, and so forth, whether or not Christianity itself will ultimately be anything more than a socially acceptable avocation. And the question, did I do enough, obviously comes from one who, like myself, has more years to look back upon than years to look forward to. At the same time, I expect that there are some young people here, maybe even some college students, who completing 4 years of college are about to, or even just completing 1 year of college, can look back and say, well, did I do enough? Not just to graduate, but did I do what I should have done, could have done? But even if this is a question which we can expect from the older generation, it is a question which is worthy of thinking about. And it seems to me that it's the question that any conscientious person will from time to time ask. Not everyone asks it. We know that there are plenty of individuals who are not, in our way of thinking, conscientious. There are those who will never look upon life as a gift or think of life as a calling, which the Christian must and does. Life is a gift. And there will be those who never think of it as a gift and therefore never think of any responsibility for being given the gift of life. But whoever does understand life as a gift then raises the question, naturally, did I do enough? It is, you see, a person who believes that life has a purpose, and only a person who believes that life has a purpose can judge their own lives on the basis of that purpose. Only those who have some sense of what life is about can then ask the question, did I do enough? So the first question is, what must I do? Once I know that, then I can answer the question, did I do enough? One day, a man came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's obvious that this individual believed that one of the purposes of life was to gain eternal life. And now he wanted to know what he had to do in order to gain it. And Jesus said to him in response, love God with all your heart and soul, with all your strength and mind. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And this is a good statement of the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to love God and enjoy Him forever. John Calvin put it that way as the end, that meaning the purpose of human life. We love God for what God has given us. God has given us the gift of life, and the purpose of life is to celebrate and give thanks for that gift. You see, defining the purpose of life in this way is not obscure. It's a very simple definition. It's not difficult to comprehend, nor is it difficult to do. I cannot believe that the purpose of life is something very complicated, something very obscure. The purpose of life, at least we can say the first purpose of life, is to praise the Lord for the gift of life which you have been given. And the first way of loving God, as Jesus commanded us to do, is to give thanks and praise. That is the principal reason for our being here this morning. And when the question is asked, did I do enough? Then we are really asking, have I lived my life thus far, whatever my age may be? Have I lived my life thus far with my eyes wide open to the glory of God's creation, including myself? I know I am God's gift to me. Now, if I have done that, if I have lived life to this point with my eyes wide open to the glory of God's creation, then I can say, yes, I have done enough. Thanks be to God. But of course, that's not quite what the inquirer had in mind. To love God with all one's heart, soul, mind, and strength, and one's neighbor as oneself calls, first of all, surely for praise, but it calls for more than a response of praise. Throughout Scripture, in both the Old Testament and the New, is the admonition that we are not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of it. Not just persons who say the right words, but who do the right deeds. Faith in action, we call it. Now the question is, have I loved my neighbor as fully as possible? Have I loved my neighbor who is, after all, a part of God's glorious creation? In the same way that I love myself, and equally important, have I loved myself as God has loved me? You know, it was a joyous moment to be with my daughter, get to know her as a mother. Never seen her as a mother before until this week. And she was looking at her child lying there on the bed, and she says, oh, I love him so much. Isn't it wonderful to know that God loves me like that? Have I loved myself as God has loved me? Have I loved my neighbor as I love myself? Well, then The answer has to be no. No, I have not done all that I could. Each of us can think of lost opportunities. And not only lost opportunities, but we can all think of opportunities rejected. Now, did I do enough is almost like asking, did I do all that I could? And I think that was behind that question in the letter I received. Did I do enough? Did I do all I could? And the answer is no. It's often said that life is like the game of baseball, or that baseball is a good preparation for life. That is, before baseball was transformed by billions of dollars and million-dollar players. But life is like baseball in that every player fails more often than he or she succeeds. It's not even a matter of succeeding most of the time. No player in the history of baseball, and the first service confirmed my, I don't know that for a fact, but everybody in the first service said, yeah, I was right, so. But nobody in the history of baseball has ever hit 500 for a whole season. To make a hit 4 times out of 10 is considered exceptional. I think Ted Williams did that. And in the game, everybody strikes out one time or another. That means that at the end of the game, it's easy to imagine having done better. But the question, did I do enough, is really not the same question as, could I have done better? It's easy for a ball player to imagine doing better. No matter how well one plays the game, it's still easy to imagine doing better, because we can always compare our performance. One has done enough is another matter, and it depends on the outcome of the game. If our side wins the game, then we say collectively and individually that we did enough. For our part, we might not have done very well. We might have been pulled along by someone who hit better or fielded better or pitched better. But collectively, the game was won by our team, and we can say, I did enough. I did my part. But the outcome of life, or even the outcome of the church, is not in our hands. It is not even in our imagination. We cannot imagine life on this earth in 1,000 years. Nor can we imagine what role the church will play in the life of the world in 1,000 years. The church has lasted 2,000 years. And I cannot see why it will not last another 2,000 years. But this I know. The future lies in God's hands, not in ours. If you or I may fail to do our part, but I am firmly convinced that God will make up for our deficiencies. For our hope is not in ourselves, nor is our hope in the church. Our hope is in God. It may have been that the questioner wanted really to ask, did I do enough to bring in the kingdom of God? Bringing in the kingdom of God is not something that human beings do. You know, in this sense, when we have conscientiously lived life, when we have given praise and thanks to God for the gift of life, then I think we can say we have done enough. We've done our best. And our best means batting 300. Or 275, or if we're good at pitching, 125. But it's far less than betting 1,000. Far less than batting even 500. that we have peace within ourselves because God is on our side. Now, if that sounds wrong, then let's put it around the other way. We have, by our longing and by our intention, sought to be on God's side as it is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Yes. If we've lived conscientiously and in praise and thanksgiving, we have done enough. Not because we have done so much, but because it is God who wins the victory and not human beings, not human striving. Just think. We did not come into being as a result of our own will. We did not come into being either as individuals or as a species out of human striving. And we will not be victorious by our own will or by our own striving. The victory that we look forward to is not our own, but it is God's. And it is from this knowledge that I gain a peace which passes all understanding. When the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans that nothing could separate himself from God, nothing could separate him from the love of Christ, not tribulation or persecution or distress, not principalities or powers, not things present nor things to come, he wasn't saying that by virtue of his own striving, he would not be separated. He's not going to be separated. We are not going to be separated from the love of God because that is the nature of God. In this vision, which John the Divine, as we call him, author of the book of Revelation, has, here is the throne of God. And a multitude beyond number is around the throne. From every race and every nation, every age, every tribe, they're there. And they're shouting, singing. What do they say? Salvation belongs to God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And God will wipe away every tear. Amen.
You've been listening to Solon and Solon, Letters to the Inquiring Mind on Theology and Scripture. If you're enjoying this series, please take a moment and rate us on iTunes. You can learn more about this podcast at solonandsolon.com.